Amen. In Psalm 81, it says that we ought to praise Him. Not might, but we ought to praise Him. I hate to go to church and see people stand while other people praise the Lord, and they open their psalm book, they open their hymn book, and praise the Lord. And then you'll see people standing there that claim they're Christians, claim that God brought them out of that bad place and lifted them up, and yet they won't even praise Him. You can't call on them to pray because they wouldn't pray out loud. They'll tell me, no, I'm not doing that. They never praise Him in the workplace. They never praise Him at home. They never praise Him in public. And then to come to church and not praise Him, something tells me they've never tasted that the Lord is good. They've never tasted that He's like fine wheat. They've never tasted that He's like new honey given out of strange places. They've never experienced that like some of us have. And we know what the psalmist is talking about. God, even though we have been rebellious at times, God has taken care of us. And when we put ourselves in bad situations, He brings us out. He delivers us. And when we get to bitter places, He sweetens it up for us. And then when we get to places where we think we can't go anymore and we get weak and we can't take it anymore, then the sugar in the honey from the rock gives you strength and energy. And it gives us honey from the rock. And the Bible tells us that rock is Jesus. That rock is Jesus. Now, I don't know why more people don't read the Bible and find stuff like this. People tell me, they'll say, I read the Old Testament, but I don't get anything out of it. I said, well, there's several things wrong with that. Either you ain't looking for anything, or number two, you don't know who wrote the thing, because the author speaks to me every time I read it. Amen? And I can find Jesus in every book in the Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy 32:13. Deuteronomy 32:13, I think it is. No, it's Deuteronomy 12:13. I'm sorry. I told you I can't read my own writing up here. I was right. It's Deuteronomy 32:13. Take that marker right there and throw that away. It's 32:13. Deuteronomy 32:13. And y'all do pray for my eyesight, seriously. I want you to look at the verse 13. He says, He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about that God supplies honey through His Son in hard places, in the rocks. Now, maybe you're not like me. Maybe you've never had a hard time since you've been saved. Maybe everything's been sunshine and roses. I don't know. But I've had some hard times. I've been in some hard places since I've been saved. I've been in some hard places right smack in the middle of the will of God, and knew I was in the middle of the will of God and didn't know where my next dollar was coming from. I remember as a young man trying to serve God and I had surrendered to preach, and I'd lost all my friends, and my wife was the only friend I had left besides the Lord, and of course my kids, but my family thought I was crazy. The people at my church thought I was crazy. I had surrendered to preach, and I said, well, I got to go to Bible college. And I went up there, and they spent more time correcting the Bible than they did teaching the Bible, so I quit. I came home, and on the way home, I said, well, I'll go to Greenville, and there's some good Bible colleges up there. And I wasn't smart enough. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I needed some help. And so I started going to Bible colleges up there and looking at them. Some of them looked real good. I'd made up my mind I was going to go to Tabernacle Bible College, Independent Fundamental Bible College, and I was going to go there. And I started looking for a job, and all the mills were shutting down. I couldn't get a job. And I remember coming home after several days of that. I came home and I pulled over on the side of the road up there in York on Highway 5. That's right there where the bypass is now. There wasn't a bypass. There was a road, but there wasn't a bypass there. And so I pulled over and I started crying. I said, God, I'm trying to do Your will. And I ain't got money to buy gas. And my wife and kids haven't eaten off food stamps. I said, I can't keep a job because I'm trying to serve you. And every job I get, they make me work on Sunday or they want me to do something that's not ethical. And so I quit my job to try to be right with you. And here I am out here. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. I just can't do it, Lord. I'm going home. And if you don't open something, I won't preach because I don't know enough to preach. And so the next day I opened up the paper and there's a little advertisement for Blessed Hope Baptist Church Bible Institute. And they used the same books as Tabernacle Bible College used. And I had independent fundamental Baptist pastors, as all my teachers were independent fundamental. And I said, thank you God, there was some honey in that rock on the side of the road that day. And I didn't even see it, but the next day I saw it. And I remember while I was going to Bible college, I was going to Bible college 5 nights a week. 3 hours every night. 3 hours every night. It was from 7 to 9 every night. And it was 5 nights a week. And I was working. But I had gotten laid off. And I got laid off. And my mother-in-law gave us. My mother-in-law gave us a 19. I think it was a 78. One of those big Oldsmobile Cutlass. The doors was that long on them, you know. And it had rust all over it, and I sanded it and put gray primer. It looked like a cloud coming down the road, blue with big old spots of gray primer. Every time you filled up with gas, I'd fill it up with oil, transmission slipped, you know. And I remember hunting a job. I didn't have the money to buy gas, and I was I'd have to get out. Every morning, I'd pack me a lunch like I was going to work. And every morning, I'd leave at 8 o'clock, and I'd go looking for jobs all over Charlotte. I'd done been all over Rock Hill, New York, and I was going all over Charlotte. And I'd have to stop on the way and hunt cans to sell them to buy gas. And I'd never forget, I was picking up cans one day, and boy, I thought it done hit me a gold mine, you know, aluminum streak in the ground, you know. And I'm picking up, boy, look at all these cans. And of course, it's Budweiser cans and Slitz cans and all that stuff, you know. And I followed them like a little bird into a trap. I followed them up in this little parking lot that goes to one of those electrical transformers over there. You know, they got a little gravel parking lot. I followed over on the edge of that, and there sits 6-pack of Slitz. And I'm so discouraged. I'm saying, Lord, I ain't got a job. I got no money. I'm trying to serve you. I'm going to school. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to take care of my family. And here I am out here picking up stinking cans. And then the verse came to me. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. And I thought, well, what's that got to do with this? So I reached down there and I picked those Slitz up. And I'll be honest with you, I opened up one of them and smelled it. And when I smelled it, I thought, I don't need that no more. I don't need that anymore. I don't need that. And I got so excited about it, I started to, and I quit hunting a job, and I took those things home, and I drove up in the yard, and I jumped out of a car, and my wife come out the door, and I said, look what I got! 5 slits! And she looked at me like, what's going on? Are you fixing to go back? You know, I said, watch! And I took them in the house, popped all 5 of them at one time, poured them down the drain. I said, I don't need that. I'm free. I've had better than that. Amen? I've had a lot better than that. And I didn't know it, but I had a little honey I had to rock that day. God was blessing me that day, and He'd replaced that with the honey out of the rock. You know what I did, Billy? I went back out there, and I sold my cans, and I bought me some gas. I kept looking for a job. And listen, I went 60 days without a job. In 60 days, I went out and picked up cans every day. In 60 days, the devil attacked me. Every day, he attacked me. But you know what kept me going, brother? I remembered the goodness and the sweetness of the Lord. I remember how good He'd been to me, how He delivered me, and how He had changed me, and how He'd give me a new heart, and He'd put a song in my heart, and He'd give me a new mind and a new spirit. And I didn't need this world anymore. I was above and beyond that, man. And look, I was happy every day picking up cans and selling them. And old devil would attack me, and he'd get me down, and I'd remember, open your mouth wide, and I'd feel it. And I'd say, Lord, I need some help down here. And I'd open my mouth, and you know what? We didn't miss a meal. Our power never got turned off. Are y'all still with me? And in the end, I ended up getting a job, and then another job, and then another job. But I'm going to tell you something. There's never been one day that I've ever found anything more sweeter than He is. Now, I'm telling you, as a Christian, you're going to go through some hard places. But you need to remember how sweet He is and how good He's been to you. Well, I've been in some hard places. Preaching the Word of God, faithful to God, soul winning, driving a bus, teaching Sunday school and pastoring and preaching every week of the year. Hey, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And go to pick up my daughter one day at school and she ain't there. Northwestern High School. And I go inside and I said, "Where's Charity Roddy?" They said, "Well, she's gone." I said, "I didn't pick her up." And they said, "Well, we don't know where she is." And I went to hunting her. And boy, I tell you what, we'd had trouble. We'd had some trials with her, you know, and I had trouble. And I was praying, "Lord, don't let my young get off with somebody and get hooked on." I had all kind of crazy thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? And I went home and told my wife, and she wept and cried, and I wept and cried. And we found out the name of everybody she'd ever been associated with and went to every one of them's houses. At night, I'd go out there on the river where the teenagers would congregate out there on Big Allison Creek, and I'd go back up in those woods and look for her up there with those teenagers, and I just cried. Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, worried to death, you know. I called one of her friends, and she said, "I think she went down to Augusta, Georgia, North Augusta, with this boy." And so I got in the car with another guy, and we went to, and I cried all the way to North Augusta. That was a hard place. In my mind, I thought, you know, this same road leads to Florida. And if she ever gets to Florida, a 16-year-old girl can get a lot of a mess in Florida. I'll never see her again. Wept and cried and wept and cried. Half of Independent Bible Baptist Church was sitting in our living room for 2 days and two nights. They brought us food. They fed us like it was a funeral, because that's what it felt like, a funeral. And then I got a call and said, "This is so-and-so, and we found your daughter." I said, "Where'd you find her?" And they said, "Up off Highway 322. Said she was running around with these girls, these rich girls who stole their parents' credit cards, and they went to the beach, and they went here, and they went there, and they bought this, and they bought that, and they drank up, and they did this, and they did that. But all of them got tired of being out, and they went home, and she told them she wasn't going home because her daddy would kill her." And said she went over to one of her other friend's house, and she knocked on the door, and she didn't know her other friend was a police. Her other friend's daddy was a York County policeman. And said when she knocked on the door, and that girl went to the door and opened up the door and said, "Charity Roddy." And he said, "Girl, come in here. We've been looking for you." And said she wouldn't come in. He said, "Well, you got two choices. You can go to the jailhouse in handcuffs, or you can just let me take you home. Which one do you want to do?" And she said, "Well, I'd rather just go home." And she walked in the door. And let me tell you something, that like honey from the rock. My wife slept with her for about 2 weeks because she was scared she'd slip out and run away. And then my brother-in-law died. Committed suicide, drugs and alcohol. About that same time. And at the funeral, Charity leaned over to my wife and said, "Mama, you won't never have to worry about me again. I don't want to end up like this." And honey come out of the rock that night. We was in a bad place, a death, a rebellious daughter, and the sweetness of God poured down on that funeral. God poured out His sweetness on us. And in a time of grieving and heartache and heartbreak, peace came. Everybody in here has been in hard places. Jeremiah, if you will. Jeremiah, now, listen to me, y'all. I'm not Look, I'm not bragging on my heartache or heartbreak. I'm just giving you examples, okay? Let me tell you something. God wants to give us that sweetness like honey from the rock. He said, you open your mouth, I'll feel it. But he's not going to force you to do it. Jeremiah 41, look at it with me, verse 8. I'm going to get over there myself. In verse 8, he says, but 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not. For we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey. So he forbare and slew them not among their brethren. Now, these were men who were in a dark place because this man had destroyed most of their nation, most of their military men. And now here's these men, they show up, they don't know what's going on, and he's killing people and throwing them in a ditch. And they had begged him, said, don't kill us, we got some good stuff for you. And it's hid out here in the wilderness. Now I thought about that. Did you know that we don't only have dark places, but we got some, hard places, but we got some dark places too. Everybody in here has been through some dark times when you didn't even know if your faith was going to keep you. And you couldn't see the light. And you didn't feel like going to church. And you didn't feel like praising God. And you probably didn't even feel like reading your Bible. And you might have just felt like quitting praying altogether. And you was in a dark place because of the situation in your life. And you couldn't see a way out of it because it was dark. And these men come out of that dark wilderness and they said, look, don't kill us, spare us. We got some stuff out there in the darkness you'll like. Out there in the wilderness. You know, sometimes we feel like we're going to quit. We're going to throw in the towel. I've done it. Most of the time it's our own fault. But you know, he's got some honey. They said right there, we got some honey out there in that dark place. And you're going to like it. And I thought God might say, well, you know what? I know you're in a dark place, but if you'll hang in there, you may feel like you're in the wilderness, but I got something sweet coming. I don't think you ever go through a valley that there's not a mountain. Amen? I don't think you ever go through a valley that God would allow you to go through that there's not something sweet on the other side going back up that hill. Amen? Did you know? Listen, did you know in Judges 14:18, he said, and the men of the city said unto him, and the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you'd not plowed with my heifer, you'd not known this. They told old Samson, said, listen here, we know about you. We know you, your riddle you gave us. You meant that time that you walked past that lion that you had killed earlier and you come back by it and it had honey in the carcass. And that battle that you had that turned into a dead place because that lion was dead. Now it's turned into a sweet place. I'm going to tell you this. Some of the deadest times in your Christian life, later on, if you'll just hang in there and look for the sweetness, later on you're going to look back on it and you're going to say, I felt real dead then. But boy, I'm glad God let me go through that. Because when he brought me out on the other side, it was sweet. Most Christians have no life-changing experiences because they refuse to go through the hard places, the dark places, the dead places. They refuse to go through those, and they will not sacrifice, and they will not submit, and they will not open their mouth and let him fill it wide. So therefore, they miss all kinds of sweet things with God Because you can't have the sweet without having the bad first. Everybody wants to take the easy path. The path of least resistance. Nobody wants to climb a mountain. Nobody wants to fight a fight. Nobody wants to hurt. Nobody wants to be in pain or agony or heartbroken. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, God uses these things to break us and to make us into what we ought to be. Amen. He's the potter, we're the clay. And the clay is broken. The clay is marred. And God has to reach down and put us through dark times and dead times and dreary times and dry times in order to break that old clay and make it into a new pot. See, we can't go to heaven like we are. We ain't fit. We're marred. And God's got to put us through things that will make us into what we ought to be and prepare us to go up to heaven. What did he say? Take up thy flowers and follow me. He said, take up thy cross. You know what that cross represents? Dying, death, pain, misery, misjudgment, all that. But see, we want to go to heaven on flowery beds of ease. Just lay back and say, boy, I'm saved. Now, God, take me to heaven. And we miss, people miss so much. I tell these stories, my wife and kids make fun of me. They'll tell me, like, we was at Thanksgiving down at Suzanne's. We had Thanksgiving at Suzanne's and one at my house. And my girls came to Suzanne's and my house, Terry's family came to it. And we were sitting down there and we were talking, telling old stories. And I started telling an old story. And Suzanne looked over at Becky and said, there he goes. There he goes. It's going to be a sad story. He's going to tell us about when he was little, or he's going to tell us something. It's going to be sad, and he's going to just throw a wrench in it all, make us cry. I said, well, I'm sorry if all my stories make you cry, but they have happy endings. See, nobody wants a sad story. They just want the happy ending. But you can't have the happy ending without going through some changes, and changes hurt, don't they, Billy? Now, it illustrates His Word, that honey does. It illustrates His wisdom. It illustrates, turn to Proverbs 24:13. Well, that's my first quit. Proverbs 24:13. I got two more. He said, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul, when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. You see what he's saying? He's saying that honey, he esteems it as something wholesome and good for you. Now, if the honey's in a rock, that's a hard place. If the honey is in the wilderness, that's a dark place. If the honey is in a dead place, a dead body of a lion, that's a dead place. So why would we esteem those as good things? We don't. We esteem what's in there, what's in that. All of that, every bit of that is good for us. And in the end, it'll be sweet like honey if we endure and trust the Lord. You want to know why some people don't come to church on Sunday night, Brother Billy? I'm proud of you. You do, of course. I wouldn't have no mind. I'm supposed to be preaching to him, ain't I? I forgot about you. You know why some don't come? Preacher's too hard to come on Sunday. It's dark. Yeah. Sometimes you get the sweet things in dark places. You want to know why people won't teach Sunday school? Well, Pastor, that's hard. You know why it's hard? You got to dig the honey out of the book in order to share it. Now, if I could just... And by the way, a lot of them treat me like a drive-by delivery boy. When they're in a hard place, I'm supposed to deliver the honey at their house. I mean, I'm supposed to go to their house, comfort them, encourage them, strengthen them, give them honey. I got to be the one to pull the honey out of the rock. I've got to be the one to go to the wilderness in the dark place and get it for them. I'm the one that's got to get the honey out of that dead carcass that they have created. So I'm a drive-by pastor. I told a fellow in here last week, I said, you know what? If you just come to church, me and you wouldn't have to even sit in here and talk like this. I said, because everything we're talking about, I preach it all the time. If you just show up. Well, it's so hard for me to get up in the morning. A grown man told me that. Well, I guess I can't come on Sunday morning, but I can't come Sunday night because I go home and I go to sleep after church and I just can't wake up. There's a word for that. Lazy. Too lazy to dig the honey out. Too lazy to open his mouth and let it get filled. Too lazy to search for something he needs. So, Pastor, if you can bless me in 45 minutes on Sunday morning, I'll let you bless me because you're going to dig that honey out and bring it to me. Yeah, you ain't getting nothing. It's the experiences that make you into what you are. Some of y'all, and some of you got, not many of you still got small kids. Some of you got grandkids, you're doing the same thing. Sometimes you got to let that young'un fall and leave them alone after they fall. I look at my grandkids, they fall, I say, brush it off. Shake it off. My daughter says, Daddy, you just mean. I said, I'm not mean. They're going to go through all life and expect somebody to pick them up, somebody to brush them off, somebody to kiss their boo-boo. Put some dirt on it, that's right. Pour some kerosene on it. That's what we used to do. Mama said, put some kerosene on it if we didn't have no red oil from the mill. Red oil from the mill would heal anything. Am I telling the truth? Red oil from the mill would heal anything. I don't know what was in it. I think it was kerosene. But it would fix anything. Amen. But now, people don't want to suffer in the slightest to get what they need. That's why they can't keep a job. That's why they can't keep a wife. That's why they can't keep a husband. That's why they can't train up their children in the way they ought to go. It's hard work! Whoever told you parenting was going to be easy? They lied to you. There's a lot of work in that, amen? You better be on your toes all the time. When they turn 12 up, you better do double duty. Duck tape. Amen, amen. I ain't forgot about you. You just haven't come in my sermon yet. I'll get to you. It represents His Word. His Word is sweet. It represents His wisdom. His wisdom is beyond understanding. I don't understand honey. I know y'all probably do. My wife has studied beekeeping, but she can't explain it good enough for me. It's more than just a bee eating nectar and spitting out something sweet. It's got to be more to it than that. Amen. It's nutritional and it's good. It's good for you and it's sweet too. There's some special things about honey that I don't know. There's more to it than just eating a little bit of honey. Amen. But that bee had to suffer to make the stinking stuff to start with. You know, bees work till the day they die. They don't get vacations. They don't have Sunday off. They fly, they gather, they bring it in, they spit it out, and they fly back out and do it again, and they do it until they drop dead. And then you know what the other bees do? They all gather around that bee and push him off the ledge of that thing out on the ground. So he was good while he lasted. I don't understand everything about honey, but I know this, it's good. And I know God's Word. I don't understand everything about God's Word, but I know this, it's good. And it also represents pleasant words, it says in Proverbs 16:24. The words are pleasant. Now, honey is not like vinegar. How many of y'all ever ate a... Joe Coley tried to get me to do it one time. He said, if you'll just eat a tablespoon of vinegar every day, it'll cure all your ills. I did it one time. It cured nothing. And I went, I ain't doing this. And then somebody else told me you eat a spoonful of honey every day and it'll cure your allergies and all that stuff. I did, but my honey was manufactured somewhere in Montana or something, and they don't have the same plants there as they do here. But if I ever go to Montana, I'm going to be sinus free. I don't understand it, but I know this, it's good. I know this, I like it. And I don't understand how God takes death and darkness and hard places and all these things and make them into something sweet, but I'm sure glad He does, and I like it. And let me tell you something. Before I was saved, there wasn't no sweetness. It was all hard. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And my best day as a sinner was not nearly as good as my worst day as a saint. All them times at the cemetery and all those broken hearts and all those disappointments, they were still better and sweeter than my best days as a sinner. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like things that are sweet. Y'all like sweet things? I like Pepsi Cola because it's sweet. I had to drink Coca-Cola at the parade. Didn't drink but half of it. It's syrupy. It ain't just sweet. It's syrupy. I like got sick on that thing. And then I got in the truck with Danny, and he said, what is that you got in your hand? That don't ride in my truck. That's what he said. I throw it away. I like sweet things. I like sweet candy. I grew up poor. We didn't get much sweet, did we? How many of y'all remember Stickies? You remember Stickies? We didn't get cakes and Little Debbie and all this stuff. Mama would take flour and she'd roll it out and cut it in little strips. And she'd sprinkle a whole bunch of sugar and a little bit of cinnamon. And she'd roll them things up in a roll. And she'd put them on that cake pan, stick them up in that oven and cook them up real hot and bring them out. And it was just flour with sugar and cinnamon on it. That's all it was. And we'd eat those things like a king was eating a feast, man. And we didn't get them often. If any of y'all can cook Stickies, I'll still eat them. Amen. My wife, they didn't have Stickies. They was rich. But I like sweet things. You know why I got saved? I saw that the Lord, He is good. And I saw that He was sweeter to me than the world was and death, hell, and the grave was. He was so sweet to me that He loved me enough to die for me in my place. See, it's the love of God that brings me into repentance. Now, the fear of God will make you look at God, but the love of God will draw you to God. And that's sweet. You won't... That's the third girlfriend I ever had in my life right in there. Third girlfriend. And I ain't going to tell you who the other two was. And the moment I saw her, couldn't breathe. Couldn't breathe. And I fell in love that day. And we wasn't neither one of us what we ought to be in. But I'm going to tell you this. I found something sweet and I kept it. I kept it. Amen? My boss man lived right next door to her, Ms. Rayner. And he told those guys at work one night, I worked third shift with him, and was all sitting around a smoking booth one night. That's back when everybody smoked. I was sitting around that smoking booth at work, you know, choking to death. And they was telling stories And Mr. Rainer looked at all them old, ornery old men, and he said, "Y'all see that boy right there?" I was 18 years old. He said, "Y'all see that boy right there, old hippie?" He said, "That boy right there started dating a girl that lives next door to me." And he said, "Her mama can't even throw out the dishwater without hitting that boy in the face now." Every time I look over there, that boy's over there. And I don't know when he goes home, I don't know when he sleeps, but it ain't very often, because every time I look over there, he's over there. Well, I found something good. I liked it. And God poured His sweetness on me one day, March 5th, 1978, and I like it. And I ain't going nowhere else. And I'm not looking for anything else. And nothing else has ever satisfied me like the honey from that rock. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the rock. Now let me tell you something. If you're hungry for something sweet spiritually, He says, "You open your mouth. I'll fill it." He didn't say change what you're doing. He just said, "Open your mouth. I'll fill it." And it will change what you're doing. Amen. If you ever drank a Pepsi, you'll never drink Coca-Cola again. It'll change you. It'll change you. If you ever drank sweet tea, it's going to be hard to drink unsweet tea. If you ever find a good woman, and the Bible says if a man finds a good woman, he's found a treasure. If you find a good woman, you're not going to want to change her. It'll satisfy you. And if you ever find the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never look for honey anywhere else. Amen? Pastor, why don't we study Islam? It ain't sweet enough. Why don't we study Buddhism? Not sweet enough. Well, Pastor, why don't we try some of this transcendental medication? Not sweet enough. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm not even curious about anything else. I ain't drinking vinegar after I ate some honey. I hope you know Him. I hope you know how sweet He is. He's the best friend I got. He's the most dependable person I've ever known. Hey, He blesses me when I need it. He blesses me when I don't need it. He blesses me when I deserve it. He blesses me when I don't deserve it. I've found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the lily of the valley. Amen? Now let me tell you something. If you feel like you have a need for something to fulfill you, you don't know Him. Because when you're going through a hard place, you're going to look around and you're going to say, "I love these people gathered around me, but I got the real answer already." Let's stand, Father. Kind of ramble tonight.